Good morning and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet and I am here in the studio with not the late Patty Fink, not the, but I'm here with...
I'm the early Jennifer.
Polka Jennifer. Polka Jennifer is here with me today, my co-host on my on our weekend. We co-host the weekend polka show together. And Jennifer had nothing else to do today, so she decided to come down for morning talk. And she's here because this morning is Pledge Drive.
That's
and
right.
We do need people to give us a call. The number is 972-647-1893. Polka Doc is here with us taking pledges also. And so give us a call because we, you know, the show just before us, they did pretty well in Pledge Drive. And then talk has been coming on all week and pledges have just dried up. So...
Don't take it personally, David.
I am taking it personally. The number to call, 972-647-1893. And we have a guest today. Our guest today is Eric Folkerth. He is the pastor at senior pastor at North Haven United Methodist Church. And I did that out of memory. And for me to remember anything at 7 a.m.,
very impressive.
Good. It is. It is. Welcome, Eric.
Thank you.
I see that your shoes match.
Yeah, they do.
I thought that was pretty good.
I lay them out the
impressed.
Night before. Thank you. I lay them out the night before. So I'm getting, so Patty and Lauren would be very proud of all the rest of you because I'm getting picked on at this hour. Eric, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Yesterday was Election Day.
Yeah.
Thought we'd start off with a little bit of election news.
Sure.
Denise Parker, who's been a guest on our show, she was reelected by a nice, comfortable margin. Houston also elected its first openly gay male city council member. Charlotte elected its first gay city council person. Mount Holyoke, Massachusetts elected its first openly gay mayor. What's going on here around the country? A whole bunch of good elections. Mississippi threw out that stupid personhood begins at conception.
Conception, yeah.
That was a dangerous.
That would have
one.
Been pretty challenging, yeah.
Uh-huh. I mean, it meant things like, if somebody, if a woman had cancer and she was pregnant, she couldn't receive treatment because that would endanger the person living inside of her. Dangerous laws.
Yeah.
Couldn't use certain kinds of birth control. Couldn't use... That was invasive, but soundly defeated.
Yes, yeah.
By the people of Mississippi, good for them.
Yeah.
There was another one, Ohio.
Ohio, the union, anti-union law there.
And that one, again, soundly defeated.
Yeah.
So what's going on? We've been so worried about all of this Tea Party stuff.
Well, it is interesting. It's an interesting move, of course, from a church perspective. We're always interested in economic issues and how they're affecting normal, average Americans. I've been kind of an unofficial chaplain for the Occupy Dallas people. I've gone down there several times and worked with them and just listened to them. And I think there is a movement around of people who are very frustrated by what's going on in the economy and how working people are being not listened to, how corporations are making more and more and more. And it's just, it's an issue of justice, really. And I think people are, I think it's a good sign that people are paying attention to that
And turning back
rules like this, yeah.
Another one yesterday in the election Arizona had its first recall election ever, and they recalled the president of their Senate, who is the one who ramrodded through the anti-immigration legislation.
Yeah. Interesting.
There.
Yeah,
I
hadn't heard how that came out.
Yeah, it seemed like one election after the
other.
Yeah,
it's very interesting results. Yeah. Mm.
And I think on this station is the only place you're going to hear a positive spin on special elections in Dallas. And because this is the only place, I do want to remind people, Doc is standing here without talking on the phone. Jennifer is here without talking on the phone. And
that number to call to make a pledge is 972-647-1893. Again, that number is 972-647-1893. 1-893. If you're driving and you can't call right now, we'll still be around and you can give us a call later. 972-647-1893.
Or when you get to your office, you can just click on KNON.org, click on the pledge button, and you can make a pledge there. You can just make it to Morning Talk or to Lambda Weekly. We have lots of pledge premiums The pledge premiums include our regular T-shirts that come in sizes small through quadruple, extra large, our black baseball cap. Those are for $40 pledges. Our black backpack with the KNON logo in white for a $50 pledge. The KNON Big Thunder tote bags, which are good for shopping. You get one for a $35 pledge, two for a $50 pledge, and you help save the environment because you're not using up all of those plastic bags. I use those all the time. They're more comfortable because those plastic bags, they tear. These you just put your groceries in, hang them over your shoulder, walk out of the store, you're comfortable with that. The black KNON concert folding chair, if you go to any concerts, I know, Jennifer, you use these because you go to these those lawn concerts all the time.
And it's very handy for down at Westfest.
It is. It is. $100 pledge gets you one folding concert chair. $150 pledge gets you two of them. KNON coffee, an 8-ounce bag for a $30 pledge or two bags for a $50 pledge. It's real good coffee, too. And for a $75 pledge, and we were making fun of this on Sunday, the umbrella.
I can't think back that far. What were we doing on Sunday?
The umbrella that I was saying.
Oh, the umbrella.
Guaranteed to make you not get wet. And then it rained this week.
Well,
right after I, right.
Right.
David.
Mm-hmm.
And should have gotten the umbrella then.
Should have gotten the umbrella, and nobody did because how much has it rained this year? Well, it rained this week, and you could have used that umbrella for a $75 pledge. So give us a call, Metro 972, and I said Metro again. And
we, oh, David.
I know. 972-647-1893. Well, our sign.
It says Metro on the sign.
I know it does say Metro on the sign because
yes, it does. You're right.
This sign is about 10 years old here.
David doesn't know the number after all these years. He still has to read it.
I know. I've only been doing the show 20 years. So the number, and it used to be a different number.
Yes,
we changed numbers in 1995 or so, and I can't remember. The 972-647-1893. Give us a call and make a pledge and support gay and lesbian radio, talk radio, liberal radio, the only liberal radio in Texas. Give us a call. Eric Folkerth is our guest today. He is the senior pastor at North Haven, thank you. North Haven United Methodist Church. I'm writing down North Haven, and I'll.
North it's
Haven,
early.
It is. It's very. At North Haven United Methodist Church, one of the big issues that's tearing apart lots of churches, but really in the Methodist Church, there's a big split. Has to do with same-sex marriage. You recently had Jimmy Creech speaking at your church, and he was actually defrocked. Over this issue in 1999.
Yeah, Jimmy was here last week. He's the only person ever to be tried twice for doing gay marriages. He was acquitted the first time. And then what happened was then there was a general conference, which is the big body that speaks for the whole United Methodist Church, and they changed the rules to make it a chargeable offense to do a gay marriage. And he decided to do another one as a protest, and was convicted, and his orders, his elders' orders, were taken away from him. That was in the late 90s. So he's a really wonderful guy. He spent the week with us. We had a big crowd, biggest crowd. We have a speaker series called Faith Voices on Justice, and we had the biggest crowd that we've ever had, actually, for any social issue last Tuesday night for Jimmy. I think he was at the Cathedral of Hope on Wednesday. He was in Fort Worth on Monday, and just really had a great week here. So
let's back up a little bit. What is the official position of the Methodist Church on same-sex marriage?
Well, it's interesting. We don't have a position on same-sex marriage itself, but what we do have is a very punitive regulation that makes it what's called a, quote, chargeable offense for a clergy to perform a same-sex marriage. There's a list of chargeable offenses. There's 10 or 12 of them. And what that means is that someone from your annual conference, being a geographic region, like a diocese, in the Catholic tradition, like a diocese. We're in the North Texas region. Dallas is the hub, and it goes up to the Red River. So someone in your annual conference can bring a charge against you, and you can be tried in a church trial, basically, for doing a same-sex union. And that's what happened to Jimmy twice. It's a really remarkable story that happened twice. That's how it's handled in our law, is as a chargeable offense. There's no penalty necessarily for a local church, but there is a penalty for clergy. And so, sort of by definition, there is a penalty for the church, because it becomes a very divisive thing for churches when it happens.
So it's different than, say, a Baptist church?
Yes, where they kick out the entire church.
The penalty, out of the conference.
That's correct. Yeah, the penalty really comes back to the clergy in our...
So the same-sex couple, if they were to, say, a couple in your church went to New York, got married, came back, there'd be no religious penalty to them?
No problem whatsoever. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Isn't that
it's only
in a weird way?
It's only on the clergy itself, not necessarily on the congregation.
Yes. Huh. Yes, that's true. Yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay. However, your church is welcoming of,
yes,
of
absolutely.
Gays and lesbians. You have an awful lot.
We have
in your
probably
church.
30-40% of our congregation. Yeah.
Oh, that
yeah.
much. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a large percentage.
It is.
And there are other Methodist churches in town that also are welcoming.
Very much. Very much. There's a movement in the United Methodist Church called the Reconciling Movement. Mm-hmm. And churches can choose to affiliate with that movement by a vote. They pray. They discern. We, for example, went through a two-year process back in the late 90s of saying, do we want to sort of openly declare to the public, make the statement that we are welcoming? There was lots of conversation, and ultimately voted by well over 90% to, I think it was 95% actually, to become reconciling. We were the, I think I'm right, the second church in Texas, maybe the third at that point. There are now three in North Texas. And many more who are welcoming but haven't made that public proclamation. So there's sort of two sets of churches right now. There's those who've taken the public step to announce to the world, and then there are those who are sort of quietly welcoming, and sometimes not very quietly. I mean, sometimes the sermons and the theology is very clearly welcoming, and they just haven't taken a vote.
So they're moving in that direction.
Yeah, they're moving
they're
in that direction. There's one church out there right now I've heard that probably will be moving toward being reconciling soon. So
mm-hmm. What it takes is to have an open discussion.
Yeah.
Make sure everybody's on board with it, or a large number, or those who aren't, I guess, can find a church where they'll be more comfortable.
Yeah, it was, I mean, you know, in our case, it was a period of years of discernment, really, before I wasn't there at the time. This is what I'm hearing from the people who were. But by the time they took the vote, it was a 95%, and it was a really beautiful process. They took it very seriously. They listened especially to their gay lesbian members and the harm that had been caused to them over the years. Unfortunately, this is stories that I continue to hear even now, mm-hmm. which is 15 years later. You know, people who've been kicked out of churches, people who've been shunned, people who've been serving on church staffs, who've been removed from their positions. We continue to hear these stories over and over and over. And it does sometimes feel to us that we're sort of the last stop for some people in their church life. You know, they're sort of very grateful to find us and consider our church to be a haven for them. But it's pretty clear they're sort of on the edge. You know, every 4 years we have a general conference in the United Methodist Church, and we lose members after every general conference. We lose gay lesbian members, we lose straight members who simply decide that they love our church, they love that haven, they love that community, feel supported, but that they cannot support a denomination that would have these kind of policies at a denominational level. And, you know, that's a very hard thing for me, because I can't, you know, I completely understand that. I completely understand the moral place that someone would get to say, I can no longer be a part of that. It rips my heart out. Every 4 years, our heart gets ripped out. So it is, I always say, it's a miracle of God that our church grows. With as many, you know, members as we lose along the way, it's a miracle that we continue to grow, given that.
And isn't it interesting, though, that your church accepts gay and lesbian members, mm-hmm. welcomes them, you would do same-sex yep. marriages if it wasn't for the penalty
right.
that you know would come
right.
from a couple of especially conservative Methodist churches in mm-hmm. Dallas. What I always find really interesting is that you do what you are comfortable with in your church, and people have found your church.
Yep.
Other Methodist churches are a little bit more conservative, or a lot more
right.
conservative, and their members have found them.
Correct.
And they're comfortable
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
Why do they care what you're doing in your church?
Well, I don't know that I can answer that question, but I have the same question. This is one of the big questions for me, is we like to think as United Methodists that we're a big tent that accepts a broad theological spectrum of belief, and in many ways we do, and yet on these particular issues, on the issue of full inclusion of gay lesbian people, we are not fully inclusive, and as a denomination, and so I have that question a lot. Why can't we live and let live? Why is it that on this particular view you choose to not do that? Why does it matter to you? And let me put that in theological terms. If you really believe that God's Spirit is working in the world, then don't we trust that Spirit? You know, in the Bible it says that it's very interesting when Jesus appears before the in the New Testament, there's this story that they're debating about Christian followers and whether to oppose this new movement. And it said, look, if it's not a movement of God, it will go away. Mm-hmm. So don't oppose it. Just, I sort of had that same view. If you really believe in the movement of the Spirit, then let's live and let live. I don't agree with the conservative position. I don't want them to have to go away. I just want our people to be able to embrace the faith that God has shown them.
Mm-hmm.
And let's truly become live and let live. That's a part of our tradition as United Methodists. That's perhaps the thing that grieves me the most about this, is that deep in the core of being United Methodist is this respect for different traditions. Mm-hmm. Our founder, John Wesley, made that very clear, that he, in his time, you know, there was a lot of fighting between Catholics and Protestants. That was the dynamic in that day. And Wesley said, look, however you worship, whatever your, there is a core of belief that we must all affirm, but beyond that, can't we live and let live? And the line in one of his sermons was, if your heart is like my heart, give me your hand and let us walk hand in hand. And, you know, why can't we do that today? It's a good question.
And we're talking to Eric Folkearth. He's the senior pastor at North Haven United Methodist Church in North Dallas. We're going to be back with more with Eric. We need to take a break. It is pledge drive, so please give us a call. And this is a perfect time to call during our
yes.
other announcements.
During the yes, although we would like you to listen to our other announcements, but we would like you to call and make a pledge. Like David said, it is a good time to do that. And that number is 972-647-1893. We do have premiums that we offer as thank you gifts for making a pledge, but you're really calling to pledge because you believe in this station and the fact that it offers diverse programming, and that means something to you. So please call and make a pledge, 972-647-1893. And if we don't get at least one pledge during this hour, David will get a black eye from me for having me come down at this hour to sit and answer the phone.
No, Jennifer came all the way down from Plano.
Yes, all the way from Plano
and
terrible traffic on Central. So please.
And you know one thing that's different about making a call here? You're calling right into the studio, and you'll answer the phone, Jennifer, or Doc here will answer the phone. You're not calling to a call center like you do on some of those other
stations. No, we're genuine people.
Right.
So please call 972-647-1893.
And call us.
And that number again is 972-647-1893, because David's punching buttons.
I am punching buttons.
And that's why we need your pledges, to help keep things running smoothly.
None of our 8 tracks are working.
I told you to use the stone tablets this time. 972-647-1893.
Okay, we're going to try this again.
Okay.
KNON depends on listener support to stay on the air. Now is the time for you to help keep this show on the air. If you like what you're hearing and want to show your appreciation for great community radio, pick up the phone and call to make your pledge. 972-647-1893. That's 972-647-1893. Don't wait for someone else to do it. Without the support of our listeners, there won't be any community radio on the air in North Texas. So take a few minutes to make a pledge. 972-647-1893.
New vinyl phone book covers are available for Ellis County, and they are brought to you by Vertigo Sound Productions. When silence is not an option, 972-489-5075. Joe Hurd Heating and AC Residential Service, 214-236-6540. Interior Ideas Incorporated, Interior Design Furnishings and More, 972-878-6868. Green Funeral Home, 972-842-5777. Remax Suburban South, 972-723-2553. Brothers Fence Decking and Residential and Commercial Services, 972-617-7077. Todd Alarm and Wiring Service, 24-hour monitored protection, 972-948-4585. And U.S. Assemblers Incorporated, tractor repair, farm equipment, and more, 972-467-8280.
KNON thanks Buyer Imaging Copier Solutions for their support of KNON. Buyer Imaging Copier Solutions provides KNON all our copy services. Buyer Imaging Copier Solutions sells, leases, rents, and services a full line of color and black and white Canon copiers with scanning, printing, and faxing capabilities. Buyer Imaging Copier Solutions offers wholesale packaging back to the consumer market in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Overstock, demo models, and used equipment with full warranty is available. For more information, 214-431-5191 or BEYERimaging.com.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet, and I am here in the studio with Polka Jennifer, who has...
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning, Jennifer.
David promised me breakfast, but I haven't seen it yet.
After Amy Goodman, we'll go get breakfast. We are talking to Eric Folkerth today. He's the senior pastor at North Haven United Methodist Church, and the phones are ringing, and thank you very much. It is Pledge Drive. The number is 972-647-1893. And we're talking to Eric about acceptance of gays and lesbians in the Methodist Church, the struggle that the church has gone through. You know, one of the things that I think really is one of the problems in the Methodist Church, it's real clear from some of the extreme right-wing faiths that they are against gay people. They
right.
want to demonize them. It's
right.
a great way to raise money.
Right.
Maybe that's why we're... Maybe here on KNON we could raise more money if we were out demonized
gay
people. We don't do that.
It does seem to work.
Yeah, it does seem to. But in the Methodist Church, which is much more mainstream...
Yeah.
There's not quite the acceptance of same-sex marriage, but
right.
there certainly is acceptance of gay people within
right.
the church. You're not out to demonize anybody.
No. Well, the United Methodism has always prided itself on being a big tent, like I said before the break. And what that means is we have a very progressive part of our church. We also have a very conservative part of our church. You can go to some parts of North Texas, some parts of the South, and walk into a United Methodist church, and it could feel very much like a Southern Baptist church. And you'd walk into another one, it might feel very much like an Episcopal church. Mm-hmm. So there's that much diversity in our congregations. Then we have in the what I call the mushy middle, which is really the vast majority of United Methodist churches, which probably have never even thought about these issues, for better or worse. I'm not saying that's good, but that's just the reality. They don't see how it's impacting their church life overall. And they don't tend to take a side. They are trying to stay very, I think they see themselves as trying to be neutral, if you will. And I think that's not always very helpful, because it's allowed us to keep a tent which is not really a big tent, mm-hmm. not really a full inclusive tent. Our church is very accepting, but the reality that we must be honest about is there are some who are not. But there are many, many people who are, and I hope people can understand that even in those middle churches, there are lots of folks who are quietly accepting. They're just not sure how to move on the issue sometimes. I think they get a little frozen. And I sort of understand that, really. I talk to clergy colleagues sometimes who tell me that they're very, very accepting personally, but they don't really know how to address the issue in their church. They're not quite sure what to do. And I really sympathize with that. I know not everyone does, but I do. I think it can be a challenging thing to talk about any social issue. There are a lot of churches that, whether it's LGBT issues or poverty or immigration or peace, you know, there are just a lot of places where we don't talk about social issues at all. Mm-hmm. And so.
And we were talking a little bit before about Jimmy Creech, who was charged twice.
Yes.
How did he get out of it the first time?
Well, it wasn't the jury acquitted him. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure the details of that, but I know the way a church trial works, it's a trial of your peers. It's other clergy and advocates who come together for or against. You know, there's sort of a prosecution and a defense. I don't know if they use those terms. Advocates, I think, is what they call them. And they acquitted him. They simply acquitted him of the charges. And what happened was then the General Conference, which is of the whole United Methodist Church worldwide, changed the rule to make it specifically a chargeable offense. They stretched our polity to do that, but they did. And so now it is a chargeable offense. He was charged the second time and convicted.
And convicted that time. Amy DeLong is an interesting case. She's in Wisconsin.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about who she is and what.
Well, this is
to her.
An interesting development. You see, this is Jimmy Creech's case is 15 years ago. In our current time, we have the case of Amy DeLong, who is a avowed lesbian pastor in Wisconsin, did a same-sex union, and was charged almost the exact same set of facts as Jimmy Creech. 15 years prior, but instead of being convicted and stripped of her orders, of her elder's orders, she was convicted, but the penalty that was chosen for her was I want to get this right. It's a 30-day suspension, and she had to write a paper on how to deal with these issues, basically. So she was convicted, and they did decide a penalty, but that's the penalty they decided. So what's interesting about that, what that tells you is that in that area, that the clergy are clearly in the majority in support of her position. I mean, it's very clear. The entire jury and everybody had tipped the scales where they said, yes, you have violated this rule, but this is going to be your penalty. So it's interesting to see how we've come, for example, over 15 years from a court in one part of the country that convicted Jimmy to the court in Wisconsin that did convict her but decided a very different penalty. Mm-hmm.
So it's like a step towards.
Well, it is. I think it's a message to say that okay, we are going to be faithful to these rules, but we disagree with them fundamentally.
Right, and this is how.
And
right.
So, therefore, in our faithfulness, we believe that this is an appropriate penalty. Quote penalty
right.
for this violation,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's a very creative thing. There's another conference in Illinois in the Chicago area who has voted that should one of their clergy be convicted of a same-sex union, doing same-sex union, that their penalty is they will be suspended for 24 hours. Mm-hmm. So they've already said
they've already said
that this
message,
is their penalty.
Yeah.
And again, I think that's very creative. We have 1,000 clergy now who have signed a pledge nationwide, many of them on the East Coast and West Coast, but actually 30 or 40 or 50 in Minnesota, of all places, who have said that should a couple come to them and ask them to do a same-sex union, they will do it. So we've had 1,000 clergy sign on to say, yes, they will do that, mostly in states where gay marriage is now legal.
So an awful lot in New York, Massachusetts, I guess California, where you can still have a domestic partnership.
Yeah.
So what would the effect be? Let's say somebody up there, because it does have to be somebody within your conference.
Yes.
You can't turn in somebody from New York.
No, I cannot.
So let's say.
So it is basically somebody of your peers turning you in?
Yes, or anybody. It could be a lay person. It could be a lay person. It could be a bishop. It could be another clergy colleague. Anybody.
Okay.
For really any reason. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so let's say of this 1,000, there's somebody up in that area who is just against this and says, I'm going to find out, and starts calling. And,
right.
Have you done a same-sex meeting? Well, yes, I did just this week. And starts creating all of these trials and turns all these people in. What would happen?
This is a good question, and I think this is a part of why this is happening, because I think in that environment, it's very likely that, it doesn't seem like people are going to be charged at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like we've come to a place where in some parts of the country, they've decided it may not be worth it to charge folks. I don't know. It's a good question. It's hypothetical. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure.
Because would only take one person who's staunch.
That's correct.
Anti, filing these charges, and all of a sudden, instead of having one Amy DeLong trial, you have 100.
You could have 100, which is, I think, a part of why it seems to be an effective witness right now,
mm-hmm.
because the reality is they're not going to have 100 trials.
You're not equipped to do that.
They're not equipped to do that kind of, and talk about a disaster in terms of how everybody would feel about that happening.
Of our clergy is on trial all of a sudden.
Now, I do have a cautionary fear here that the General Conference meets every 4 years, and I always try to think, okay, what would the people on the other side of this issue do? And I think we're likely to see at the next General Conference some kind of move to regularize what that penalty would be,
mm-hmm.
To make it sort of a national, although it's handled at a local level, to make it sort of a national penalty of some kind.
Some parameters.
Just my gut level.
On other issues, though, haven't they left most of those things to local areas?
Of course they have. Of course they have. This is one of the things that is most frustrating about this, is that this is not left to our discretion. So much is left to a pastor's discretion or to a local church's discretion, but these issues are not. These issues, time and time again, the Greater United Methodist Church has decided to enforce something for all of us.
Mm-hmm. When you mentioned that there's a conference every 4 years,
yeah.
Who are the representatives
at
this conference?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a good question. Yeah, this is an important question.
Are there parishioners from every congregation?
No.
Or
yeah,
at a regional area or level or what?
So the United Methodist System is set up in a series of what we call conferences, which is basically groupings. The basic level is called the charge conference, which is a local church level. Beyond that, we have a jurisdictional conference, which is a state region. We're in the south central region of 7 states. Above that is, I'm sorry, I skipped over annual conference, which is like the diocese.
Yeah.
And so every church in North Texas is a part of the annual conference. We elect a delegate from North Haven to the annual conference.
Correct.
So every church gets a delegate to the annual conference. The annual conference elects a slate of delegates to the general conference. It's 12 people, I believe that's correct, this next time. We just elected them for the next General Conference, and it's half laity, half clergy.
Okay,
it's mandated to be half and half. So it is a very democratic process in some way, and that's been one of our strengths all along, a very democratic process. Now, so delegates come from every region of the United States and every region of the world, and this is the issue for us today in the United Methodist Church, is that we have a very growing church in Africa and in other parts of the world that are far more conservative than the average American theologically, even the average American conservative.
Correct.
And so this is really one of the things that I would want listeners to understand. I believe that if American United Methodists were voting on this issue, we would liberalize these policies. In fact, I believe it would have happened probably 12 years ago. I've talked to many people who believe in this, that if you just allowed the American United Methodists to set their own rules, let's say, our church would have moved perhaps a decade ago on this issue. But we have a growing set of very conservative delegates, mainly from Africa, who are sort of counterbalancing as the American church has become more progressive or even more middle of the road, however you want to call that. It's moved in a middle of the road progressive direction. The African church has remained incredibly conservative. And so that is a part of the thing we're facing right now, honestly, is that at the General Conference, this is why we can have a very sensitive statements coming out of the committee at the General Conference.
Right.
We had a beautiful statement, a live and let live statement, which came out at the last General Conference from the committee. They prayed, they worked for a week, they came out with a statement that said, we are not of one mind as a church, which
Correct.
Is, of course,
which
the truth.
Common
it is
for
absolutely
any,
the
any
truth.
Denomination.
Yeah.
Yes.
We are not of one mind, but we agree to disagree and we agree to stay together. And that came out of the committee. In fact, some conservatives even supported that. There's some conservatives that I know that worked very hard on that legislation because they believed it is the truth. It is the truth. And they were willing to go to a live and let live situation. The problem is it got to the floor of the General Conference and was defeated. And so that's kind of what we're up against. And I don't really know where we're going at the General Conference level. It worries me, honestly. It worries me for the American church. It worries me that we're going to lose our voice as an American church for the sake of maintaining a global church.
And we're talking to Eric Folkirth. He is the senior pastor at North Haven United Methodist Church. It is Pledge Drive.
So we need you to call in and please make a pledge. Support KNON. And this program, support and make it worth David's while to come down every Wednesday morning, early.
But I'm on my way to work. You came down all the way from Plano,
yes.
And I want to thank
you
for that.
Actually, I took the day off to do this.
We have a couple of pledge premiums that are special for our show. We have a gift certificate for a dinner for two good at Red Hot and Blue locations in Dallas, Las Colinas, Plano, Fort Worth, Flower Man, Duncanville. I have two of those, so it goes for a $50 pledge. And I have a couple of alligator gift certificates for the Alligator Cafe, a $25 gift certificate for a $50 pledge. You also get a bumper sticker and a program schedule. But you're getting half your pledge back if you make a pledge. And
have you told them about the fries gift certificate?
No, let me do that. We have a pledge referral contest going on right now. Now, the pledge referral contest goes to whoever refers the most new pledges during the fall pledge drive, and you'll win a $500 gift certificate from Fry's Electronics. Get as many first-time pledges as you can to make and pay a pledge to KNON, and the pledge can be to any show. It doesn't have to be to our show. So if some of your friends say, yeah, but I don't like morning talk because David is such a loudmouth and so irritating to listen to. However,
somebody told you I said that, didn't they?
Yes, they did. But I do like to listen to Jennifer on Sunday afternoon. You can pledge to Jennifer. It doesn't matter who the pledge is to. So you need to make and pay a pledge.
It needs to be new pledgers and a minimum of $40.
Right.
And provide the name.
Here's what we need you to do. Just make a list. Get the name and the phone number, and somebody here in the office will make the call for you. Call that person and find out if they want to pay by credit card or check. If they want to pay by check, we'll send them a card so they know where to send the check. If they want to pay by credit card, they'll just process it that way. So just get a list of the names and phone numbers, and you can just put down yourself, Morning Talk, and not Jennifer. And that would be good if you put down Morning Talk and not Jennifer.
Competition.
Always.
How competitive are polka people?
Oh, competitive polka people.
Oh, well, they can be pretty competitive, depending on what type of polka or genre of polka you're talking about.
So all we need you to do, you know, and I don't think it's going to take that many people to win this contest. You know, if you get 10, 12 people to make that $40 pledge and they're first-time pledgers, I think we'll do pretty well. We have one other one that I just love. It's the KNON Elite Music Sponsor. You get a pair of tickets to every KNON benefit for an entire year. From this pledge drive through November of 2012, KNON averages like 40 different shows a year. Some of them are at Sons of Herman Hall. Some of them are downtown at...
Poor David's.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Poor David's Pub. There are a variety of things around the city, but about 40 shows a year, you'll get 2 free tickets. It's for $500. It includes food at the event. We have our big Thanksgiving party here in the studio coming up. For $500 pledge, your name plus a guest will be on the permanent guest list of all KNON benefits for an entire year. So give us a call. 972-647-1893.
On November 9th at approximately 1 p.m., KNON will participate in a nationwide test of the emergency alert system. This test will last for about 60 seconds, after which we'll return to our regular programming. This is only a test. KNON is proud to participate in the emergency alert system to keep our listeners safe by giving you advance warning of emergency situations. Remember, on November 9th, it's only a test. For more information, visit EASalert.org.
If you don't want your old SUV or other gas guzzler, the KNON Vehicle Donation Program can take it off your hands. Call us today at 877-KNON-AUTO or donate online at KNON.org. Our representative will take all of your information and arrange a convenient time to pick up your vehicle. All it takes is a call to 877-KNON-AUTO and we'll create great programming from your old car, truck, or boat. 877-KNON-AUTO.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
And this is Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet. I'm here in the studio with Polka Jennifer.
Yes, Polka Jennifer's here. A rare occasion.
It is rare for you to be in the studio at this hour.
Yes,
you're used
during
to,
the week.
You're
I'm
used to
here
getting
on
here
Sunday
at the crack of noon. Yeah.
Yeah, we're at crack of 1 o'clock. No. I always try to get here at least half hour
you can,
before.
You get here early. So.
We are in Pledge Drive, yeah. And I know David mentioned some of the things that you can have or that are rewards, if you want to call it, for certain amounts of pledges. We do have premiums in different price ranges, if you want to call that. We have a $25 pledge that you get a lime green KNON Frisbee Sport Flyer. We have several $40 pledge items. A $75 pledge item is that wonderful black and white windproof umbrella, jumbo 64 inches. Then there is the $100 pledge that will get you a KNON Black Dickies short sleeve work shirt in 100% cotton. It has the 28th anniversary design on the left pocket and the KNON Best of 2011 design on the back. Now that's the one that is in reference to our getting the award in the D Magazine
and
the Dallas Observer. Sorry,
yeah.
I'm not quite up on all that. That comes in a various range of sizes. There's also, for this go-around, because it's fall and getting cooler, there's the soft fleece throw blanket, which is in navy blue, the small gray KNON embroidered logo in the corner. $40 will get you a charcoal gray soft style long sleeve KNON Voice of the People shirt. There's the full concert folding chair, $100. There's the Aztec 10-ounce coffee mug. There's a backpack.
And the umbrella.
I mentioned the umbrella already.
And the umbrella. I love the umbrella.
He thinks he's Mary Poppins reincarnated. We have T-shirts. We have ball caps. We have the ever popular barbecue apron, KNON coffee. So we have several items that we would like to give you as a thank you. If you will call in and make a pledge, that number, 972-647-1893. And David is so good at saying, because I am technologically challenged, you can also pledge on the web.
And you are technologically challenged. I've watched her on the computer. She's incompetent.
Oh,
but
incompetent.
Other people who are competent to go to the computer.
My brother-in-law says that also.
It's KNON.org, and then just click on the pledge button. And actually, for Morning Talk, we get an awful lot of our pledges just by people going online that way. Because a lot of people are listening in the car on the way to work, and they get to work and click on KNON.org and just...
David, aren't you the only program in the Dallas area that covers topics like this?
We're one of two gay and lesbian shows in Texas, because there's one down in Houston, but we're the oldest one in the country.
In the nation, I saw that. That is very impressive. That's amazing.
It was one of those things. KNON came to us in 1983 and said, why don't you do a gay and lesbian show? And we kind of said, okay, what's that? It was music by gay performers, music gay people want to hear. We talked about a couple of topics, but
this is the only place here at KNON that you're going to have an opportunity to hear a program like this, or to hear a variety of music programs here on KNON. We're not cookie cutter, definitely we're not a cookie cutter radio station, and the DJs themselves that play music are the ones who decide what gets played, along with you being able to call in and voice your opinion. I'm not sure there are very many other radio stations here in the Dallas area that you can do that. So, this is very unique radio programming here at KNON. Please consider that and call and give us a pledge. The number is 972-647-1893.
And we are talking to Eric Folkerth. He's the senior pastor at North Haven United Methodist Church. One of the things that I guess I find so frustrating, just because of my religious background, is you're very happy in your church with your congregation. Other churches are happy with their more conservative congregations. Why can't you leave each other alone? And here was my example, and I told you this before the show, and I think I've told this story on the air before, where at the first Jewish Arts Fest, my synagogue is a predominantly gay and lesbian synagogue, and we were at the first Jewish Arts Fest where all the different synagogues and different Jewish groups had tables, and somebody came along who was very obviously Orthodox, and we thought, oh, here it comes. But he kind of stood in the middle of the aisle, crossed his arms, looked at us, and shook his head a little bit, and we're thinking, okay, what's he thinking? But under his breath, but loud enough so that we could hear him across half the aisle, he said, good, every Jew should have a place to go. And that's a wonderful attitude.
Absolutely.
He's happy at his synagogue.
Right.
We're happy at ours. We respect each other.
That's right.
Or maybe there isn't enough respect for each other.
Right.
And there should be.
There should be, right.
And since that, do you know what he did for me? He made me respect him.
Absolutely. Of course.
In a church that is mainstream, that should be a big tent.
Yeah.
Why isn't there that kind of acceptance of each other?
Isn't the purpose of a church is to bring people to God?
Well, of course. Yeah, of course it is.
So aren't we supposed to bring and welcome everybody to God?
And let me push this a little further. I don't know that I can answer that question fundamentally, except that I have the same question. And it is a question I ask myself quite a lot. That we talk a lot about the mission field, if you will, and that every church needs a mission and every church needs a purpose. And if you are in a more conservative church, I may not agree with your purpose, but I respect that purpose. And I respect other denominations. As Methodists, we have as core belief that respect, that we believe we are all brothers and sisters, whether or not we agree on everything. That's been a core value for decades in our tradition. So it is incredibly frustrating to me that we have picked out this set of issues and made them live or die issues in the sand for all of us. I had a colleague, I had a clergy colleague, a woman, very conservative woman, one time we were talking, and she said, you know, the thing about gay marriage is I just don't want to have to do them. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be asked to do them.
Who? What pastor has ever asked to do any marriage
right.
that they oppose?
That's the point. The point is you don't have to. If a couple comes to you today and you don't want to marry them, you don't feel, for whatever reason, for whatever moral or personal reason between them, and you feel like you cannot do that in good conscience, you are not required to marry them. So
in any denomination.
In any denomination. That's correct. That's absolutely correct. And so that's fine. It's not fine. I do disagree with that. But allow me to minister to the people in our congregation, to the part of the population who really wants this as a pastoral thing, as a thing to honor their family, as a way to support their family. You know, marriage is fundamentally a conservative institution, and it continually surprises me that conservatives are against gay marriage. By definition, it seems to me, from a certain point of view, it should be something they want. It creates a family. It creates a loving group of parents raising their children, serving their resources, their financial resources, their, I mean, it's fundamentally conservative, almost by definition. It seems to me that it would behoove all churches to support that. But they don't, and not only don't they, but they are keeping others from fully offering that benefit.
And that's where my problem is,
I guess,
because I don't care what you do
right.
in your church, but don't tell me what to do in mine.
See, it gets back to that Holy Spirit thing I talked about earlier. If we really are in the Christian tradition, if you really believe in the Holy Spirit, you really believe that God's Holy Spirit is at work in the world, then how can you stand against different churches developing their different ministries? How can you not but celebrate those different ministries? You may not agree with all of them, but how can you not celebrate all of them? Mm-hmm. I think that's we are really denying the Spirit its ability to work. And like I said, it then becomes a miracle that churches like ours grow, because we're sort of playing with one hand tied behind our back, and yet we are growing. It's a beautiful thing, and I think it should be a sign to all of us. Mm-hmm. We're losing members. You know, one of the things that happens here, you ask why, and I think one of the why answers is that people are afraid, and people are afraid of a loss of membership in their denominations, not just United Methodists, but others, because we have seen a membership slide over time.
That's happening for other reasons,
It is.
Too.
It is
it's
happening for many other. Of course it
yeah.
is. But people will say that it is happening because of this reason. However, I think public opinion polls are very helpful to us. Time after time, if you ask young people to name five words that describe, quote, the church, with a capital C, not the Methodist Church, but the church, one of the words they always mention is homophobic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Really?
Wow. Survey after survey today. Okay, that tells us something. That's not good. That's not good for any church. We desperately need to stand against that, to publicly stand against that. And then in other public opinion surveys, if you ask people their religious preference, are you Jewish, are you Muslim, are you Christian, are you Protestant, Catholic, you know, give them a whole list. The fastest growing group in that list is none of the above.
Mm-hmm.
People who say, a pox upon all you, I'm tired of all of this. Okay, again, that tells you something. There are people right now fleeing from the church, not because we're accepting of gay lesbian people, but because we're not accepting of
Correct.
Gay lesbian
Correct.
People. They're simply deciding to go away. It's an attrition of year after year, decade after decade. And so, there probably would be some people who would leave if the United Methodist Church became more progressive on these issues. But I think far more people would be willing to support a denomination that was a true Big Tent, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, and it's you find the church that's
right.
the right one for you.
Right, right.
That just doesn't seem like that hard a concept.
It shouldn't be.
You know, it's like the difference between Fox News and everybody
yeah.
else. Fox News doesn't throw different ideas out there and discuss them. What they do is they scream talking points at you, and they repeat those talking points and insist that you need to do and you need to follow, and Obama is this and all that nonsense, rather than discussing a policy. Whenever you have that kind of non-acceptance, and it's not that a religion shouldn't have certain tenets and certain beliefs.
Correct.
There certainly are.
There are certain core beliefs, absolutely.
But when those core beliefs involve excluding people...
That's right. Well, talk about paradoxical. Mm-hmm. I mean, and especially in Christianity, where the core commandment is love your neighbor as yourself, love God. That is the core commandment. And so through which all of our other regulations must be judged. Jesus said everything else hangs on that. If it's not about love, if it's not about loving yourself, loving God, loving your neighbor, then it's not something you should be clinging to. That tells us something.
And Eric, I do want to thank you for being here with us today, and you need to come back with us again.
Sure.
It is Pledge Drive. The number to call is 972-647-1893. Jennifer and I will still be here after the top of the hour, so give us a call and support talk radio here at KNON, where you probably don't get the exact same views that you get on some of the other talk stations here in Dallas. I don't listen to them, so I wouldn't know, but I'm assuming that my show is not exactly like most of the other talk shows. I've been compared to Rush Limbaugh, but I think that probably I'm not quite.
You're probably better looking.
Of course, thank you.
Nicely played.
Jennifer, thank you for coming down and helping us today.
You're very welcome.
And next
week, I could do it every Wednesday.
Next week we have our news roundup. Aaron Moore will be with us to help us just chat the news. 972-647-1893. And this is the part of the show where our producer comes in and disavows any knowledge of our existence.